Again, good morning, Trinity family, and Merry Christmas. How many of you enjoyed those angels and the singers and all of those who came and prepared? And I was talking to some of the folks about those who are getting ready. Our little angels that were here, they were here at 7:30 this morning to get ready for you, along with tech people and all our choir members. We so much appreciate them. How many of you have your Christmas shopping already done? How many of you still have some Christmas shopping to do? Amazon Prime, baby. Get in an hour or two. I read about a grandmother who's doing some last-minute Christmas shopping with a grandson and granddaughter. And they were rushing into the car when the four-year-old grandson, Jason, said, "Grandma, Susie has something in her pocket." She had taken something off the shelf and put it in her pocket. It hadn't paid for it. It was a new red beret for her hair. And though she was tired, the grandmother knew it was important for Susie to learn the lesson and go back into the store and place the item back where she had found it. They did just that. And then they went on to the grocery store. And at the grocery store, the clerk asked the kids, "Have you been good so that Santa's going to come to your house?" And Jason replied, "I've been very good, but my sister just robbed a store." So hopefully you've been very good and you haven't had any, we don't have any kids here who have robbed stores lately. Would you stand with me one more time? And we're going to read from the scripture from John about the Word becoming flesh. We're going to read all of these together. Would you read them with me? "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as from the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, 'This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was given before me. For from His fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.'" Would you read that last part one more time with me about grace and truth? "Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. And as we are reminded from Your Word about grace, may we leave this place even with a greater appreciation for what happened 2,000 years ago. Not that You just came into a manger, but You went to the cross so that we could receive Your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Grace has been defined in many ways: God's riches at Christ's expense. Another way to define grace is it's the unsought and unbought activity of God. How many of you are thankful for God's grace in your life, for that unsought and unbought activity? You know, and as we are going to open up presents, some of us have already opened up gifts, and maybe tonight or tomorrow morning. If your parents are really good parents, they let you open up everything on Christmas Eve. If they're bad parents, they make you wait till Christmas morning, kids. Just saying that, just putting that out there. You can quote Pastor on that. As we are getting gifts, how many of you are hoping for grace on your gifts, hoping that you get more than you deserve? Anybody here hoping for more than? How many of you want less than you deserve? What kind of folks are you? Hopefully, we all want more than we deserve. And Christmas is that reminder that we were chosen by grace. God chose us by grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes the missing ingredient of Christmas is an appreciation for how much grace we receive. As Christmases go by on the odometer of our life, how many of you realize how much grace you've been given? Each year, you've been given more and more grace by God. And as you receive gifts and as you receive the gift of life, you know how much grace God has given to you. Today, we have a culture where quite often when it comes to Christmas, our children are just, or as adults, we have expectations that can never be exceeded. We wish we would have gotten that too. But when we come to Christmas, I'm so glad that God's gift of grace always exceeds my expectations. His grace always exceeds my expectations. We just read from the scripture, John said that Jesus came full of grace. And from His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Well, let me give you three thoughts on where we can find grace at Christmas. The first thought is this: grace is found in the wonder of Christmas. You know, as we drive around our cities, as we look at the decorations and the lights and the festivities and train gardens and parties and all the things that we do, there is a wonder of Christmas just naturally. It's not supernatural, but a natural wonder for Christmas. And then you also have the Hallmark Channel. I wonder a lot about the Hallmark Channel. I don't know that it's a wonder, but I wonder about it. And you get to this Christmas time, and there are these soppy Christmas movies. Forgive me, ladies. But where every girl gets the perfect guy. It's like my wife getting me. Everybody gets the perfect guy. And, you know, when you rate movies and shows on television, they've got these Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic, you know, ratings about shows. And I think with a Hallmark Christmas time, they rate them by how many Kleenex boxes you go through. But my wife tells me that being married to me is like living out the happiest ending of any Hallmark movie every day of her life. It's just wonderful. Well, still with me. Why are all these Christmas movies so possible, so popular? Why do we like all of these parties and all of the festivities? I think it's because Christmas gives us hope to dream again, hope to look beyond our circumstances and see grace in our lives. Think about the wonder of Christmas. Jesus Christ came born to a virgin. He came born in a lowly manger. He came born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, the home of King David, just as the prophets have foretold. His birth was announced by angels to shepherds who perhaps were raising some of the very sheep that would be sacrificed for the sins of the people, as he would be 33 years later. His birth was announced to wise men who could not have realized the implications of their gifts. Think about it, gold for a king, frankincense that would be used in the sacrifices in the temple, and the aroma that you would smell when you would walk into the temple, and myrrh looking forward to his death for our sins. There is so much wonder, so much of a list that we could keep going on about Christmas. Christmas is grace on full display. You know, in our military, thank you for all of you that have served and those of you that may be still serving in our military. In 1996, two military strategists came up with what we call now is shock and awe. That if we're going to go against an enemy, we're going to come in with such overwhelming force and they're going to just put their hands up and say, okay, we give up without having to really battle. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, he didn't come with shock, but he came with awe. He came with wonder. He didn't come as a king to rule over us. He didn't come as a judge to tell us how bad we're going to be. He didn't come as someone with great military might. He came as a baby born in a manger. In response to human sin and evil, God could have used shock and awe. He could have employed the rapid dominance to crush us with overwhelming power on the battlefield of life, but he gave up his authority and he gave up his power and he set those aside. He chose a radically different strategy. I'm thankful for redemptive love. I'm thankful that being delivered into the hands of sinners and then laying down his life on the cross, Jesus came in awe and gave his life for me. And it all began in that manger in Bethlehem. Jesus didn't come with shock and awe. He just came with awe. He came with wonder. Are you letting the wonder of God's grace overwhelm you? That he would come because he loves you so much, he would come and give his life for you. Another place that we see grace in Christmas is grace is found in the life of Jesus. Not just in his birth, but in his life. You know, Christmas time, there's all this talk about if you've been naughty or you've been either naughty or you've been like the pastor, you've been nice. And those of you who drive around in red cars are on the what list? According to the advertisements, I know one of our elders has one of those red Mercedes Benz, and he's on that, I don't know, an elder on the naughty list, but we've got naughty and we've got nice. But Jesus didn't come about naughty and nice. Jesus came about grace and truth. Grace, full of grace and full of truth. In the life of Jesus, you see his miracles. You see healings. You see resurrections. You see all kinds of miraculous things that he does. But the greatest claim that Jesus ever made was not about those miracles. He didn't just come and say, well, I can open blind eyes or I can unstop deaf ears. Jesus said this, I can forgive sins. I can forgive sins. God's grace. No one else could forgive sins. You know, and although when we think about sin, we quite often think about the person we've sinned against. We go to that one and we say, we've sinned against you, and we ask for your forgiveness. But here's the bottom line. Every sin in life is against God. King David knew that. When in the depth of his sin, think if King David was living today, he would no longer be king. We would have removed him from the throne. His ethics, his morals, all the laws of man that he would have broken. But King David said to God, he said, "Against you and you alone have I sinned." He understood the gravity of it. The religious people of Jesus' day, they were not nearly as upset about Jesus healing miracles and even breaking the Sabbath as they were about his claim that he could forgive sins. They said, "Does he think that he is equal with God?" And the truth is, Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. See, Jesus was perfect. He was the only one that ever walked on this planet without sin. And that's why during his ministry and after his resurrection, Jews, along with others, they worshiped Jesus. Why do we come to this place today and we bend our knee, we lift our hands, we sing songs? We're worshiping Jesus. We're worshiping someone who came and walked on this earth like you and I, except that not only was he fully man, he was fully God at the same time. Think with me about first century Jews. It would have been heresy to worship any man. There's only one God, but they worshiped Jesus because they saw his perfection. There was an awe about him. He was able to come and forgive sins. Jesus is the one and only Son of God. And through his coming to earth and becoming our sacrifice, he holds a place that no mere man can hold. And the scriptures tell us that the name of Jesus, one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Aren't you thankful that he came and he lived on this earth full of grace and full of truth for you and I? Grace is found in the wonder of Christmas. It's found in the life of Jesus. And the final point, some of you looking at your watch and saying, "Is this Pastor George up there? How's this going so quickly?" Grace is found, most importantly, in the miracle of salvation. The miracle of salvation. The text tells us, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." How many of you like law? How many of you like the rules and regulations? I don't know that any of us like them unless we're being paid to keep those, keep everybody out straight. You know, the law reveals that I'll never be good enough. There'll always be some time that I break the gift. You imagine with me, you've got a pile of gifts underneath your Christmas tree and you can't wait to open every one of them, and you unwrap the first gift but it's empty and there's a note inside. "This was going to be a trip to Disney, but you forgot to take out the trash twice in April, so you don't get to go to Disney." The next gift says, "This was going to be a round trip airfare for two to the destination of your choosing, but I caught you in a little lie. No trip." And on and on, and one by one, you've been caught by all the rules and regulations and you get nothing. That's our life. We can never live up to the perfection that would be expected for us to gain eternal life. But imagine with me, there's another tree, not an evergreen tree, but a tree of sacrifice. And it's under that tree that all my wrongs are forgiven. It's under that tree that I get rewarded when I shouldn't have had any reward. All of my sin was replaced by the grace of Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice for me. Think with me about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, this guy who had persecuted the church, he said, "I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the greatest of sinners." And he linked it all to his persecution of Christians. And what was the impact of grace on his life? Here's a fun thing to do. Go into the New Testament and read every epistle that Paul wrote. Every epistle that Paul wrote begins with grace and ends with grace. It all begins with grace and it all ends with grace. When you understand his grace in your life as believers, we should abound in grace. Grace to others should be the dominant theme of our lives. We should be forgiving. We should be hopeful. We shouldn't be condemning. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but through him we might have life. He came to give us grace. Grace, the unsought and unbought saving activity of God. Grace begins at Christmas, and it is fulfilled upon the cross when Jesus ushered these words to tetelestai, "It is finished." Aren't you thankful that grace, the payment, is finished through the life of Jesus Christ? you know, Tim Keller, pastor, author, now professor, he says, you know, in his book about Hidden Christmas, he says, some gifts by their very nature make you swallow your pride. Imagine opening a present on Christmas morning from a friend and it's a dieting book. Then you take off another ribbon and a wrapper and you find out it's a book from another friend and it's entitled Overcoming Selfishness. You say, thank you very much. I'm overweight and I'm selfish. And you open up other presents and it all goes on. And if you say thank you, you're admitting that you're overweight. You're admitting that you're obnoxious. Keller says, some gifts are hard to receive because to do so is to admit you have flaws and weaknesses and need help. Perhaps on some occasion you have a friend who figured out you were in financial trouble and they came to you and they offered you a large sum of money to get you out of your predicament. If that has ever happened to you, you've probably found that to receive that gift meant swallowing your pride. There has never been a gift offered that makes you swallow your pride to the depths that the gift of Jesus Christ requires us to do. Christmas means that we are so lost, so unable to save ourselves, that nothing less than the death of his son himself could save us. That means you are not somebody who can pull yourself together and live a moral and a good life. We can't meet the requirements of the law, but I'm so thankful for God's grace in our life. But to receive that, we have to admit, I need God's grace. God's grace, we see it in the wonder of Christmas. We see it in the life of Jesus Christ, and most importantly, it's found in the miracle of salvation. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? The musicians are joining me back on the stage. If you're here and have never received that gift, you've experienced festivities, maybe you're not even fully sure of this Jesus, if he was God's son, I want to invite you to invite Jesus Christ into your life today. And it's as easy as ABC. A means we admit. We have to say, God, I'm a sinner. God, I can't. God, I need your grace in my life. I admit that. B means I believe, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and I believe you came 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago as a babe, but you gave your life on the cross. And C, I choose to follow you. I choose to do what the Apostle Paul did. I choose to realize your grace in my life and live my life in a way that's changed, in a way that follows your grace. If you'll do that, Jesus Christ will come into your life today and you'll begin that relationship with him. Your sin, your guilt, shame, you'll sense that lifting and you'll sense the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. For those of us who are believers, this is a great time to say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, is there a time when I'm not even realizing the gift of grace in my life? Or Holy Spirit, is there a time when I'm becoming legalistic and I'm forgetting to give grace to others? Would you help me with that? If you'll invite the Holy Spirit to help you and to change your life, I know he will do that. Father, we come to you in the powerful, the saving, the miraculous, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray especially this morning for those among us who are giving their life to you. They are making a new commitment or renewing their commitment. They're doing so by saying, Jesus, I admit that I can't live up to the standard of the law. I need your grace. Jesus, I believe that you're the one and only Son of God who came born of a virgin and died on the cross and resurrected for my sins. And see, I choose to follow you this day. Father, would you impart to them the indwelling of your Holy Spirit? Would they be able to see you and to see life in a very new and in a very grace-filled way? Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the miracle of salvation. And Father, for those of us who have come as believers, we're coming to celebrate what we celebrate every day in our life, that you have saved us. May this day be another day where we move forward again in you, where we realize once again our need of grace and our need to be grace givers. Father, thank you for your hand and thank you for sending Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, the one who came full of grace and full of truth. We pray these things in his wonderful name, and everyone said together, amen, amen.